Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Falling for the PI by Victoria James, narrated by Rachel Perry. Chapter 1. I'm sorry, but I can't take a man who wears white jeans seriously, Kate Abbott said, eyeing her sisters with what she hoped was a drop-it expression. Really, she hadn't given the topic much thought, but she was running out of excuses. Her sisters gave each other a knowing look and then turned in their seats looking for another unsuspecting target. Apparently, she had missed the memo that said tonight was all about finding Kate a man. Kate lifted her pint of beer, taking a sip of the cool beverage, and leaned back in the worn leather booth with a sigh. The Lucky Irish pub was filled to the brim, round tables and booths packed with friends celebrating the beginning of the weekend. In a town as small as Still Harbor, there was only one decent place to go for drinks, and it had become a landmark in the community. Besides, it's October. Isn't there a fashion rule about that sort of thing? Alexandra McAllister, her youngest and most loud-mouthed sister, leaned forward. We're so on to you. Finish that beer and find someone who remotely interests you. Kate gave the room an obligatory glance and then shrugged. No one here interests me. We went to the trouble of getting a babysitter for the girls. We planned this night so you could actually have fun, not act like a 90-year-old woman with a bad attitude. You need a man to get your mind off everything. No, Kate said, making eye contact with their waitress and then waving her over. I don't need a man. What I need is a giant plate of nachos. She smacked her lips together and looked down at the menu. Kara Hamilton, her other sister, made a sorry attempt to snatch the menu from her hands and glared at her when Kate hugged it close to her chest. Hi, ladies. Ready to order? The young waitress asked, smiling down at them. Yes. I need something really bad to eat, like a dish where everything on the plate is fried, Kate said, ignoring her sister's loud sounds of displeasure. The waitress laughed and leaned forward, pointing to some items on the menu. Oh, I hear ya, honey. There's double stuffed potato skins and beer battered onion rings. Oh, and you know what's so bad? It's so good. What? What? Kate asked, delighted that someone was taking her needs seriously. The fully loaded nachos with extra cheese, beef, and guacamole, the waitress said, straightening up and tossing her blonde hair over her shoulder. Kate snapped her fingers. Done and done. I'll take all of it. You got it, she said with a wink and then turned to Kara and Alexandra. What can I get you ladies? I'm sure we can feed off our sister's trough over there, Alex said, her red lips pulled into a deep frown. The waitress laughed and gathered the remaining menus. Okay, I'll be back as soon as your order's up. Kara leaned forward. The point of tonight was for you to have fun, not eat yourself into a food-induced coma. You make it sound like I have a complex of some sort, Kate muttered, glancing down at her iPhone display. Relief surged through her. No missed calls, which meant her daughter Jamie was asleep. Now she could enjoy herself for a little while. You do. You need a life, Alex said, tucking a strand of dark hair behind her ear. The problem with the three of them sharing a house was that they knew all about her issues. Kate stared at both of them. They were trying to help. They always tried to help. When they'd first met in a group home, all of them orphans, they had connected instantly. Kara and Alex weren't her biological sisters, but their bond was real, and in their hearts, they were family. Kara nodded. Right! A life for Kate! Kate rolled her eyes. Okay, enough. This is starting to sound like a made-for-TV Hallmark movie. I'm a worrier. I always have been. And you'd worry, too, if either of your girls were like Janie. Janie was her adopted daughter. The moment Kate had met the little girl, she knew she was destined to be her mother. But raising Janie was proving to be more emotionally challenging than she would have ever predicted. Janie is doing fine. It's barely the second month of school, for crying out loud. Give her a chance. She will fit in. You know the staff is behind her, and our girls are all in the same class together. Cassie told me that Janie had so much fun at recess today, Alex said. Cassandra was her adopted daughter. And Beth told me they all sat together at lunchtime, Kara said, reminding Kate of what her daughter Beth had said at dinner. So no need to keep worrying. Finish off your beer, walk over to that bar, and see if someone sticks. I'm not Velcro. Alex inhaled sharply, gripping the edges of the table until her knuckles turned white. Her eyes were wide and a little crazed-looking as she stared at the front door. Oh, forget it. Our search is over. He's just walked in. That is the man, Alex said. Kate didn't bother turning around. She'd heard that many times before. I'm serious. He's walking to the bar. Black hair, dark jeans, navy Henley that is clinging to delectable muscle. About as beautiful as a man can get. Oh, she's right, Kara said, turning to look at her. You need to do all of us a favor, so get off your butt and go to the bar right now. Kate frowned at both of them, curiosity getting the better of her, and she slowly turned in the direction of the bar. Tall, dark, and handsome didn't cut it. He was leaning against the bar, his eyes on the front door. He was obviously waiting for someone, his dark blue eyes unwavering. He was beautiful, in a chiseled, masculine way that made her stomach drop, her pulse race. Stop drooling and start rocking! Kate ripped her gaze from the man and turned to focus on her sisters. She had to clear her throat. I will give you that the man is... She quickly searched for a word that wouldn't prompt them to force her to approach him. Fascinating. Fascinating. He's not an art exhibit, although he could be, Alex said under her breath. I agree. I say we refer to the Nameless Wonder as Mr. Art Exhibit, Kara said. Alex nodded in agreement. Kate shook her head. I'm not going to refer to him as anything, and I'm not going up to him. What would I say? Alex took a sip of her wine and mumbled into her glass. Try this. Hi, my name's Kate. That's stupid. And then what? I'm not going home with a stranger, she said, looking away from Mr. Art Exhibit. Oh, I've got it, Kara whispered, clutching her arm. Ask him to make a donation to our fundraiser. Just say, would you like to be my date for the Still Harbor Home for Women and Children's Gala? Because I have no life and even less of a love life. Kate yanked her arm free from Kara's grasp. I am absolutely not asking a stranger to be my date to the most important event ever. Then ask him for money. We really need a major sponsor, Alex whispered, looking over her shoulder at him again. He must have money. Only a man with money can have a walk like that. You win. Your conversation has actually driven me to walk up to a stranger in a bar. Kate shot them what she hoped was a scathing look, and then downed the rest of her drink. They were right. She had no life. She worked, she took care of her daughter, she slept. That was it, and that had been it for years. None of them had had the luxury of doing the normal things young people did. there had never been room to enjoy life's finer pleasures. She'd follow their advice, except for the part about asking him to the gala. She'd worry about their lack of funding tomorrow. She looked from Mr. Art Exhibit back to her sisters, who were smiling. She took a deep breath and stood. Okay, I'm going. I can do this. I can approach a random... Mr. Art Exhibit is not random. Trust me, Kara said. Kate nodded, squared her shoulders, and made her way through the crowded pub. The live band was playing a raucous melody, the crowd on the dance floor cheering. Kate's stomach tightened as she approached the bar. She quickly surveyed her seating options. She couldn't sit right beside him. Maybe one bar stool over. Her heart drummed painfully, and she cursed herself for being such a wimp. She could stand in front of a room of rowdy teens, and she couldn't walk up to a man at a pub? Come on, Kate. Kate gingerly sat on the round bar stool, careful not to overshoot and wind up on her butt, now that the effects from her second beer were beginning to swirl through her. She stared straight ahead, pretending to be interested in the vast array of bottles on display. The bartender made eye contact with her and walked over. Perfect. Another drink was exactly what she needed.
What can I get you, sweetheart?
I'd love a double whiskey, she said, clutching the edge of the bar and leaning forward.
Can I buy you that drink?
Kate stared straight ahead, breath caught in her throat. That wasn't the voice she would have thought Mr. Art Exhibit would have. No, this voice was slurred, rough, and slimy. Because of the loud music, Kate couldn't really decipher which direction the voice was coming from. She turned in her bar stool to look at Mr. Art Exhibit. A blonde woman was currently draped around the man, and he wasn't even looking in Kate's direction. Kate swiveled in the opposite direction, dread weighing her down as she came face to face with the owner of the voice. He was grinning. No, leering. His long, curly, greasy hair was covering one eye, while the other gave her a slow once-over. Kate swallowed hard. This was why she didn't do bar pickups. This is exactly how the Kate Abbott bar pickup would go. Hot man ignoring her, drunken man propositioning her. No thanks, Kate said, trying not to appear rude while, at the same time, being clear she wasn't interested. She turned away from him, just in time to miss the visual event that went along with the belch that boomed near her ear. Charming. So instead of securing Mr. Art Exhibit, she had attracted Mr. Belcher. Kate shuddered, grateful for her whiskey's timely arrival. The man leaned forward, his rough wool sweater brushing against her arm. Kate bristled, picking up her glass. She downed half the contents in one long swig.
I love a woman who can drink, the man said,
almost knocking her off her stool as he claimed the chair beside her. Kate clutched the edge of the bar counter while turning to glare at her sisters. Kara's head was face down on the table, shoulders shaking. Alex was motioning wildly, but Kate had no idea what she was trying to communicate. Kate turned back in her chair, ready to take her drink and leave. This was her last pickup attempt ever.
How's about you and I go somewhere we can talk?
Kate clenched her teeth. How about no? Thank you. His hand made contact with her arm. The heat from what felt like sweaty paws seeped through the fabric of her sweater. Kate stood abruptly and yanked her arm free with one quick motion. No, thank you. And keep your hands to yourself.
I saw you and your friends watching me, and I know I'm the reason you sat here. You know you picked that seat to be close to me,
he said, his face inches from hers, his breath smacking against her skin.
The lady can sit wherever she damn well wants, buddy.
Kate closed her eyes briefly. The voice. She knew who that voice must belong to. It was sensual, deep, and with just enough warmth to make her toes curl. Kate turned around. Sure enough, Mr. Art Exhibit was standing there. Mr. Belcher leaned forward.
I don't remember asking for your opinion. I don't care. Get your beer and leave,
he said, standing. Mr. Art Exhibit towered over both of them. He kept himself in peak physical condition. And when she turned again to look at Mr. Belcher, she could tell he was thinking the exact same thing. He scowled at them, took his beer, and left. I guess a thank you is in order, Kate said with an awkward smile. One corner of his mouth was turned up slightly, and Kate looked into the deepest, darkest shade of blue eyes she'd ever seen.
Not needed. I consider it a community service,
he said, his smile deepening.
Then maybe I should buy you a drink, Kate said, smiling slightly, finding her ability to flirt.
She could do this. He shook his head.
Thanks, but I'm used to paying my own way.
Or are you afraid my offer to buy you a drink is really a pickup in disguise?
This time, his smile widened, the corners of his eyes crinkled, and his mouth opened to reveal a row of perfect white teeth.
Hell, honey, if that's what you're after, you don't need to buy me a damn thing.
Kate tried to catch her breath, which apparently had been sucked right out of her by his reference to the two of them spending the night together.
Oh, no, that is totally not what I was implying. I'm sorry, this was just me trying to be nice because you saved me from the Belcher.
He belched, too?
Kate nodded, smiling, relaxing a bit, until three giant platters of potato skins, deep-fried shrimp, French fries, and onion rings appeared in front of her. The waitress beamed down at her.
I'm so happy I spotted you over here. I know you were desperate for these, so I thought I'd bring them right out. I've got wet naps and a bib for you because it gets really messy. Oh, and just wave me over when you want dessert.
Kate gripped the smooth edge of the bar counter as waves of mortification flooded her. She stared at the waitress and didn't dare turn to look at the man beside her. First, the Belcher. Now, the food. Kate stared through burning eyes at the platters of fried food.
If you could bring that over to my sister, since it was meant for all three of us to share, she said.
The waitress frowned, clearly confused.
Sure, I just thought...
Kate nodded and forced a bright smile on her face.
Thanks, they were really hungry.
What sounded like a muffled laugh emerged from the man beside her. She snapped her head over to look at him, and she had to give the man credit. He schooled his features to look as though he didn't know she was lying. He rubbed his hand across his jaw, and Kate's eyes followed his hand. It was large, tanned, and the jaw it rubbed against was firm, stubborn, downright sexy. Alex could definitely pick him.
So, since spending the night with me wasn't your intention, how about a dance?
A flash of heat bolted through her. She glanced over at the small dance floor, which had been packed all night. Right now, the live music was fast and loud. That was safe. She looked back at Mr. Art Exhibit, taking in the broad shoulders, the wide chest, the clearly defined biceps.
No. She couldn't dance with a man like this.
Flirting was one thing, dancing.
It was just a dance I was offering. Nothing more,
he said, amusement and something that looked like sincerity lighting his eyes.
Right, Kate said with a nod.
What about your blonde friend?
He shook his head.
Not a friend. just a random woman.
Kate swallowed hard. He was making it clear that he wanted her. She eyed her whiskey. "Excuse me for a second," she said, taking a long drink and squeezing her eyes shut. She shouldn't have agreed to this. This guy just turned down a gorgeous woman who had draped herself on him and was now here with her. The only reason Kate was agreeing to this was because of pride? To prove that she could do this? Or was it him? Something about this guy that had propelled her to cross the floor and sit at the bar.
"I'll try not to take that personally," he said.
"Belcher liked that I could down a whiskey," she said into her glass. He laughed, low and throaty, and Kate found herself smiling along with him.
"Well, maybe we should call Belcher back here."
"Don't you dare," Kate said, placing her empty glass on the counter and meeting his gaze. "But maybe you should reconsider all this. I mean, I still see your friend over there. She's staring at us. I'm sure if you walked up to her and..."
"What if I told you that there's something about you, besides you being unbelievably gorgeous? What if I told you I never dance? Ever? But for some reason, I feel compelled to dance with you."
Gone was any trace of laughter, teasing. Kate took a deep breath and took in the masculine beauty of the first man who truly made her want to forget everything and act like someone who could enjoy the moment, enjoy the affection of a man who commanded the attention of every woman in the room, someone who could revel in another's strength.
"I'm mad," he said, extending his hand and standing.
Kate shook it. It was large, warm, and strong as it gripped hers. The sensation of his hand around hers encompassed everything she'd been trying to avoid. Sensuality, desire, heat. When she made the mistake of looking into his eyes, his hand still locked onto hers, she read the same emotion glittering in the striking blue depths of his. She slid her hand free and looked away. It was impossible to feel that. "Kate," she whispered.
"Come on, Kate,"
he said, tilting his chin in the direction of the packed dance floor. Kate opened her mouth and then shut it. What was she doing? She glanced around the bar quickly.
"It's just a dance,"
he said, grasping her hand and giving it a gentle tug. She stood next to him, feeling small next to his towering height, but she didn't have time to react because he was already walking, leading her through the crowd to a secluded corner as the music shifted to a slow, sultry ballad. And then she was being drawn into his arms. All breath was stolen as she came into contact with the strong wall of Matt's chest. The clean, masculine scent of his cologne teasing her with an attraction she knew she wouldn't pursue. His large hand wrapped around one of hers, holding it against his chest, the other wrapping around her waist. The band's smooth sound lulled her into a cocoon where this handsome stranger meant something more than a simple Friday night pickup. His arms were wrapped around her, and she felt cherished, desired as they moved in unison. Her head rested against the lower part of his shoulder, and his lips grazed the top of her head, his hand moving up and down her back. They danced like that for a few moments until his warm hand found the nape of her neck, slowly, gently, pulling her head back to look at him. Her mouth opened involuntarily as she looked from his eyes to the perfect curve of his lips. Motion at the side door as a few uniformed police officers walked into the bar caught her attention. She tried to look normal. She tried to breathe. But between the overwhelming sensation suffocating her and the automatic reaction she had to seeing policemen, she couldn't find a spare breath.
Matt pulled back slightly, looking down at her and then following her gaze.
My friends are here,
he murmured, looking into her eyes and then down at her lips. But the moment was slipping for her, reality taking the place of the fairy tale as his words registered.
You're a cop? She whispered, slipping her hand out of his.
He frowned down at her as they both stood still.
Not anymore. Why are you looking at me like that?
I've never been a fan of the uniform, she whispered, backing up a step, hoping the crowd on the dance floor would swallow her. She was panicking, and she couldn't help it.
His eyes wandered over her, and despite everything, her body felt a wave of desire in response to the obvious praise in his stare.
Some of the best men and women I know are police officers.
Kate crossed her arms in front of her, chilled. I wish I could say the same, but I can't. I should really get back to my table, she said, taking another step into the crowded dance floor. All that food and everything, she said, her voice trailing off. Matt took a step toward her.
There are two types of people who hate cops. Those who have something to hide and are running from the law. Or those who've been hurt by the power of that uniform.
He wiped his hand across his mouth roughly, his voice low and harsh.
And I hope to God, sweetheart, that neither of those are your reasons.
Emotion swelled in her heart briefly as his words, his expression, touched her. Enough that she contemplated staying until another man walked into the bar. Every tiny hair on the back of her neck stood. She couldn't see the man's face, just the back of his head. It couldn't be. She looked back at Matt, who was staring at her, a frown pinching his dark brows together. Panic ensnared her, holding her prisoner. She looked back at the crowd and couldn't find the man again. She stood motionless as her eyes scanned the people, looking for the brown hair, the hunched shoulders. Someone bumped into her from behind, jostling her forward. Matt's hands flew to her arms to steady her, but the comfort of his touch was gone. If Derek Stinson was in this pub, she wasn't safe. I've gotta go, she whispered, hearing a few loud voices yell out Matt's name. She weaved her way through the crowd, careful to sidestep the rowdy dancers as the loud, fast-tempo music pounded in her ears. Her eyes were on the side door. She needed to get outside. She'd text Kara and Alex. She needed to get away from the man who looked eerily similar to Derek, the monster that had destroyed her world. Chapter 2. Katie, remember always how much I love you and how much Sarah loves you. We're always together, even when we're apart, we're together. Always. You are my darling, strong girl, and I know you're invincible. Remember that. Invincible. Kate sat upright in bed, taking in huge gulps of air, like a person who just surfaced from the water on the verge of drowning. The exact opposite of an invincible person. She hadn't had that dream in ages, and she knew exactly why she had the dream two nights in a row. Derek, or the man who had reminded her of Derek. She threw off the covers and stumbled out of bed, glancing at the red glowing numbers on her alarm clock. 4:38 a.m., she quietly rifled through her drawer and pulled out her running gear, dressing in the dark. There was only one way to deal with the dream and deal with being up this early. A run. After grabbing the bear spray she kept on the top shelf of her closet, she tiptoed down the stairs, stopping for her raincoat and running shoes. Waterproof running gear was essential this time of year. Minutes later, she was well on her way into the core of Still Harbor. She didn't run with music in her ears because today there were certain voices she wanted to cling to. Right after waking, she could recall the precise pitch of her mother's voice, but she knew the inevitable fading would happen, and it would all seem like a distant memory. This morning.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?